Let's read together Psalm 104. In this psalm, the Lord is praised for His wonderful creation and for His dominion over His creation. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover Yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes His angels spirits, His ministers a flame of fire, You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. Let's begin our study of Psalm 104 with some background notes. Psalm 104 has been called a poetic parallel to Genesis chapter 1. Because you can build a good case that structurally, the psalm follows the 6 days of creation week. Days 1 and 2 of creation week are recalled in verses 1 through 5. Day 3 of creation week is recalled in verses 6 through 18, which deal with the land being brought out of the waters and the provision of plants for animals and mankind. Day 4 of creation week is recalled in verses 19 through 23, with a mention of the sun and the moon. Days 5 and 6 of creation week are recalled in verses 24 through 30, which deal with the land animals and sea creatures. And days 6 and 7 of creation week are recalled in verses 31 through 35, with the Lord rejoicing in all His works, and with man, the pinnacle of God's creation, responsible to sing God's praises. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the author of Hebrews quotes verse 4 of Psalm 104 as follows. Hebrews 1:7, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. This is a strong indication that Psalm 104, verse 4 is a poetic description of angels and not just about wind and fire. And if so, it would support the position that angels were created during creation week and not before. Remember, angels function in this created space-matter-time universe. Only God, the Creator, is outside and before His created universe. So it stands to reason that the angels were created early in creation week, since they rejoiced when the foundations of the earth were laid, according to Job 38, verses 4 through 7. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for Psalm 104. Doctrinal point number one, believers should praise the Lord because of His creation. Believers should praise the Lord because of His creation. Verses 1 through 23. As we mentioned in our background notes, a good case can be made for verses 1 through 5 recalling the first 2 days of creation week. The eternal and majestic Creator, stretching out the heavens of space and letting there be light. Verses 1 and 2 once again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover Yourself with light as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. The firmament of day 2, separating the waters above from the waters below, we have in verse 3. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. Now as we read through verses 6 through 9, try to decide whether these verses are speaking about the third day of creation or about the flood of Noah's day. Let's start with verse 5. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Your rebuke they fled. At the voice of Your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which You founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. So are these verses speaking about the waters that covered the earth and then were gathered into seas as the Lord brought the dry land out of the water on day 3 of creation week? Or is this describing the global flood and the consequences at the time of Noah? The commentators are not in agreement. The context favors creation week, but verse 9 certainly reminds us of the promise of the Noahic covenant that the Lord would never again destroy all flesh with water. Verse 9, you have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. You remember part of the Noahic covenant was that the waters would not return to cover the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. Now, if you go with creation week for these verses in Psalm 104, then you assume that the psalmist is only thinking of God's orderly procedure of preparing this earth for the habitation of man. The later judgment of the global flood of Noah's day for man's sin is not in view in the context here whatsoever in this viewpoint. If you go with the flood as being described here in Psalm 104, then you assume that the psalmist is coalescing the creation and flood accounts of Genesis 1 through 9 to prepare the earth as it is now for the provision of all of God's creatures, as we see in the verses following. So in either view, we see that in verses 10 through 23 of Psalm 104, we see how God designed his creation to provide for his creatures. In verses 10 through 13, we have God's provision of life-giving water from springs and streams, constantly fed by the rains. Let's read these verses, verses 10 through 13. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. In verses 14 through 17, we have the Lord's provision of vegetation for food, for people and animals. He gives grapes for wine and olive oil for the skin and wheat for bread and trees for wood and shade, as well as a home for the birds of the air. Verses 14 through 17, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. In verses 18 through 23, we see that God arranged the topography of this earth, as well as the seasons and the day-night cycle, all for the benefit of his creatures, including man. Verses 18 through 23. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. How could any believer read these verses and not praise the Lord? Believers should praise the Lord because of his creation. Doctrinal point number two. Believers should praise the Lord because of his dominion. Believers should praise the Lord because of his dominion. Verses 24 through 32. Dominion means supreme authority and control over a realm. The realm here, of course, is God's created world. And we see here that the Lord's dominion over his creation is good and total. Let's read these verses, verses 24 through 32. Psalm 104, beginning now with verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath. They die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit. They are created. And you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. The fact that the Lord can just look at the earth and touch the mountains and they respond emphasizes God's total sovereignty over his creation. Now, the Leviathan in verse 26 is probably a reference to the plesiosaur, a large marine reptile that is now extinct, unless one still exists as the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland. Seriously speaking, there seems to be enough evidence that some unique creature exists in that deep lake. The point of these verses, of course, is that God controls and cares for his creatures and what he has created. The idea that everything came about through random chance and continues that way is a far cry from what the Bible teaches. God is the creator, and he has dominion over his creation. So the one-word answer that our five-year-old grandson David has for all our questions is in line with Scripture. David, who made all the flowers and all the animals? God. David, who gives us our food? God. What about the lions and the tigers? God. David, who decides when a bird should die? God. Right on. This is biblical teaching. Believers should praise the Lord because of his dominion. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 104? Sing hallelujah for harmony. Sing hallelujah for harmony. Verses 33 through 35. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Now, the closing praise the Lord of Psalm 104 in Hebrew is hallelujah. So when we sing or say hallelujah, we are transliterating the Hebrew word into English, and it literally means praise the Lord. But if you were to read that phrase in Hebrew, that's the way you would say it, hallelujah. But it literally means praise the Lord, thus the translation. This Hebrew term is used 23 times in the book of Psalms, and believe it or not, this is the first time. Psalm 104, verse 35, praise the Lord. Now notice why the psalmist is using the term here. He is determined to sing praise the Lord as long as he lives, verse 33, because he is looking forward to the time when God's creation will once again be in complete harmony. Verses 34 and 35. Sinners and evil will be removed. There will be no jarring notes in the harmony of the new heavens and new earth. What a great and wonderful time to look forward to as believers. Sing hallelujah for harmony.